All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Abdelhamid, and this is Michael Flanagan. And today we'll be talking about managing your Azure applications with the Preview Portal. So just by a quick show of hands, how many people here actually have been using the Preview Portal for the past year since it's been out and about? A lot of people. Okay, that's awesome. How many people have very relatively little experience, and this is just, you know, this will be your introduction to the portal? Also a lot of people. Okay, cool. So I think this will probably be good for both sets of people then. So just a reminder to submit an evaluation for our session. Tell us what you think. We take that seriously, so thank you. Here's what we're going to be talking about today. Since this is a talk about managing applications, Michael and I have actually built a demo app over the past couple of weeks, and we've been managing it ourselves using the portal. So most of the talk is going to center around actually using the portal to manage that app that we've built. Before we get into that, though, we're going to do a quick recap of some of the Preview Portal capabilities. We're going to talk a little bit about the architecture of our demo app, just so as we go along, you can follow along, you know what our app does. And then a final thing that I think is really important is we're going to touch on the Azure Resource Manager and do an overview there, just to see how our app fits into the Azure ecosystem. So this is my last question I'll ask. How many people know what the Azure Resource Manager is and what it does and how it helps you? All right, very few people. So this will be really good for you then. It'll give you an understanding of just how the portal works with the rest of the management stack. All right. So just to touch on the portal capabilities for a bit, if you've been with us on this Azure journey for a few years, you'll probably notice that we've built a few of these things. And you might be wondering why we built this latest one and what it does fundamentally differently than any of its predecessors. Well, here it is. The first thing you'll notice about the portal is it provides a new kind of unified management experience where you don't only get a single pane of glass to manage all of your Azure resources, but actually third parties that provide value into Azure are also able to plug their experiences into the portal in a relatively seamless and very secure way. And a lot of those offerings, all of those offerings, whether they come from Microsoft or third parties, are available in a new marketplace that's searchable, browsable, categorized, and it's only available in the new portal. For those of you who've used the current Azure portal for some time, you'll probably know that when you log into there, you either have access to an entire subscription or set of subscriptions, or you have access to nothing. There's nothing in between. The new portal solves that problem with very fine-grained access control, which leverages capabilities from the platform that come from the Azure Resource Manager that we'll talk a little bit about, and Azure Active Directory. So all these services are working together to give you very fine-grained access control. The new portal is personalizable, so you can customize it and optimize it for the tasks that you need to do frequently. And as we're managing our app today, you'll see how we personalize the experience to help us go faster. Billing insights. Whether you're looking at an individual resource, a group of resources, or an entire subscription, you can now, from directly in the portal, in the context of management, understand how much money you're spending on your various Azure resources. And finally, a feature that we just improved upon and made a little bit more discoverable this week, self-service support and ticket management. So if you have a support plan through Azure, you can now come into the portal, open up a support ticket, manage the lifecycle of that support ticket, and resolve your issue right there. So with that in mind, let's talk about our app. So Michael and I are PMs. We love to talk to customers. We hope you guys will stick around after and talk to us. So when thinking of what type of app to build, you know, what better app than one that will collect and analyze product feedback? You guys will actually be invited to use this app and give us some product feedback that we'll take back to the team later on. So what does our app look like? Well, at the top of the stack, we've got a front-end web app. And that web app is just a regular website you go to in your browser. You get a simple feedback form. You type in your feedback. If you want it when you're doing that, you can put in some hashtags and stuff, and we'll have a little fun with that. And then you send that our way. Once that feedback makes its way to us, we drop it in a storage queue for further processing. After that, we're going to have a cloud service and a web job that are going to be processing the feedback, indexing the hashtags, and we're going to try to We're going to try to glean sentiment from your feedback, and it's going to do some natural language processing, and we'll try to determine if your feedback was positive or negative in an automated way. Now, once we've sort of collected all that feedback and done that analysis, we're going to store that in a SQL database. Now, Michael and I are PMs. We're not that smart, so we're actually going to rely on an external service to do the sentiment analysis for us, and that's going to be interesting when it comes to managing this app later. And we didn't just want to build an app that works, that does these things. We wanted to build an app that was manageable. And in order to do that, we leveraged some of the core manageability features of Azure. So the first thing we did is we made sure that any code that we wrote, we instrumented with App Insights. And that way we get diagnostic tracing, custom events, and custom metrics that are being captured while our app is running. And that's going to help us out when we're using the portal later on. Azure also has built-in support for alerts, so that when certain metrics go past certain thresholds or certain events happen, you know, we don't have to be staring at the portal to be notified of that. We can get an email, we can hook that up to other automated tools, and know as soon as possible when things go wrong. And of course, our front-end website, we want to make sure that as load increases, and you know, there's going to be tons of people giving feedback on our website, we want to make sure that we can scale to meet those needs. And we also want to make sure that when the scale is low, or when the demand is low, we're not overpaying for extra resources. So we're going to use auto-scale. They showed that very briefly in the keynote this morning, so you'll see a little bit more of that here. And then finally, we're doing all this work, we're investing all this time to get this feedback. We want to make pretty darn sure that we're not going to lose it. So we're going to use SQL's geo-replication feature, another thing you saw a small amount today, to make sure that even if there's a disaster in our primary location, we're never going to lose that feedback. It's ours forever. So that's our app. That's what it does. And I want to just frame that now in the context of Azure's management stack. And here's where we'll get a little bit into that Azure Resource Manager, I promise, just for about 5 minutes. So this is the management stack. At the top, you've got the tools that you use to interact with Azure. And that's things like the management portal that we're going to be looking at, your PowerShell commandlets, and Visual Studio. All of those tools work by targeting a single service management API that's powered by the system that we call the Azure Resource Manager. The Azure Resource Manager we released that last year at Build, and it's basically our evolution of our service management API. It's the secret sauce that lets all the services expose their capabilities through this consistent management layer. Now, so again, those of you who've been with us for a few years in Azure might say, we already had a service management API. Why do we have another one? What am I getting for this new technology? And it kind of complements what we talked about with the portal a few minutes ago. The first thing we've got is that we've been much more rigorous on the consistency of the APIs. So if you are going to talk to those REST APIs directly, it's a pretty good chance that if you're using one service, you'll be pretty well set up and you can transfer that knowledge to talk to another one. The second piece is that fine-grained access we talked about earlier is implemented based on this role-based access control that's baked into the Azure Resource Manager. That's tight integration between the Resource Manager and Azure Active Directory. And we'll show you how that works in a bit. Now, if you guys are here, it's probably because you're building applications on Azure, and it's probably because those applications probably have multiple resources in them. With the old model, if you wanted to deploy your application, it was sort of on you. You needed to write a PowerShell script or use some other tool to get all those resources up into Azure. Well, now that's baked into the platform, and you can simply define the structure of your application in an easy-to-find template, send that template out to the resource manager, and it will orchestrate provisioning all of those resources. It'll handle retries and timeouts and failures and all that stuff for you. And finally, a thing that we're going to touch on a little bit, there are some concepts baked into the new model that just make it easier for you to organize your resources and query them. So you'll see that in a bit. So let's see how our app fits into this model, just so we can have an understanding when we're managing the app, how it fits into the ecosystem. So at the top of all things Azure is an Azure subscription. If you've been using Azure, you probably have one. They come in various flavors, all the way from pay-as-you-go to volume licensing and everything in between. There's probably some people with some MSDN subscriptions in the audience, too. So one of the first things that we're going to leverage in this new system is the concept of a resource group. A resource group is basically a folder for you to put your resources in, just like a folder on your file system. It's an organizational tool. You can create multiple resource groups. They don't cost anything, they're free. They're just a place for you to put things. So for our app, the resources that we showed you a minute ago, it makes sense that we would take those resources for that app and put them in a resource group. So we've done that here. So that sort of begs the question, what informs this thinking? Like, what makes me decide to put resources in one group versus another? And there's really two key inputs that dictate that. The first primary one is life cycle. Do I want these resources to be deployed together? If so, then they probably belong in the same resource group. Now, you know, for example, here I've got all these resources. When I spin up and tear down this environment, I want them coming up and down together. But let's say for the sake of argument that I had another storage account, another resource that's going to store all my logging data and all my telemetry across all my test environments. I might want that data to sort of live longer than my app. So if that's the case, I would have a second resource group, and it would just have that one storage account in it. And we're able to actually express relationships between resources in this model so that management tools can do a little bit better job of helping you navigate about your applications. Now, the other part that's interesting with the lifecycle is that template-based execution engine I talked about earlier actually works by targeting resource groups. So if you want to use that orchestration service, that's kind of your constraint. Every time you issue one of those deployments, it needs to target a resource group. So that's your first major input there. The second input to your decision-making for how to organize these resources is access control. So we briefly touched on, or I introduced you to the concept of role-based access, and the way that's implemented is by a hierarchical and cascading set of access assignments. So just to give you an example, here's a couple example access assignments. So I'm Adam, it's looking like I'm in the owner role, and my little box is at the subscription level, which means I'm an owner of this subscription. What that means is that I can do anything on this subscription. I can create resources, I can create resource groups, I can give other people access to manage these resources. But then when we look at Michael, Michael is at a lower level at the resource group, and he's got the role of contributor. Now, because he's at the resource group layer, that means that when he logs in, he actually won't see the resource group that's on the left. He'll only see the one that's on the right. And as a contributor, he'll be able to do most management activities, but he won't be able to assign access to other people. And when you're seeing these two terms, owner and contributor, those are some of the pre-built roles that Azure provides out of the box. There are some kind of generic roles like these, and then there are also service-specific roles for really domain-specific jobs. And Michael will show you a little bit of that in a demo in a minute. So that's sort of all we've got in terms of teeing up the Azure Resource Manager and giving you an introduction of just how resources are organized in this model. But there's a full session on the Azure Resource Manager tomorrow at 11:30. Ryan Jones is giving that. And I would highly recommend you guys attend that. You'll learn all about those template-based deployments and the role-based access in a lot more detail than we're going to be able to cover in this portal talk. And with that, we're going to actually start managing our demo app, and Michael is going to kick that off.
All right, thanks, Adam. So as Adam mentioned, we built an app to track your feedback. And feedback is really important to us at Microsoft. It's one of the biggest drivers of the features that we build and the experiences that we enable for you. So get out your laptop, pull out your tablet and your phone, and open up this app. Let us know your thoughts as we show you how we manage our app in the portal. All right. So, and to set some context, I'm setting up a test environment so that I can test out some of the so that I can test out some of the performance traits of our app. I just have a small dev instance of this, but it has all the same traits and all the same architecture that Adam had briefly talked about before. All right, so what I want to do is I want to make sure that I can configure that so that I can understand how it's going to perform under load when we start, when we release this publicly. All right, so when we first sign in, what we're going to see is a start board. The start board is like your personal dashboard. It's a heads-up display for your cloud. Pin the things that you want, unpin what you don't, and just customize it and make it yours. So digging in, we're going to launch Browse. Browse is going to give us a list of all the apps and services that we have in our cloud. And we also have a list of all our resources across subscriptions. In here, we can filter by name or by subscription. I'm just going to filter by subscription here. So that way, I have access to 11 subscriptions, I think, right now. So this will give us the quickest access to our feedback app. And you'll see, these are the different resources that Adam had kind of touched on earlier. Let's go ahead and dig into cloud services. Now, one thing just to mention is, if you're familiar with the preview portal, you might be surprised to see cloud services in this list. We're excited to finally have the beginnings of a cloud service management experience in the portal, and we hope that you will take advantage of that. If you have cloud services, please come into the portal, check it out, submit feedback. As a matter of fact, do it now. So for cloud services, you'll see, just like any of our other resources, which you'll see pretty soon, you can manage instances, hosted VMs if this hosts a VM. You can dig into the monitoring, events, and alert rules. You can start, stop, switch between, and swap your slots. You know, all the basics, all the things that you would expect and that you can see in the full Azure portal today. A lot of the things that you can see in the full Azure portal. All right, and since, like Adam had talked about, our cloud service is here to do some pretty complex processing. So one of the things that I know that I'm concerned about is I want to make sure that it's going to be able to handle the load. So I want to make sure that, I want to make sure to watch the CPU percentage as we do our performance testing. So I'm going to pin that to our start board. But that's not enough. Really, I'm going to want to make sure that, you know, in the middle of the night as this thing is turning away, I want to make sure that if there's a problem, I want to get notified immediately. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up an alert rule. Going into alert rules, I just want to know when CPU spikes. Based on CPU percentage, and let's say when it goes above 80%, send me an email, right? Set that up, and that's basically it. So normally what we do is we would set up other alert rules to maybe monitor disk usage or other traits of our app, but this is good enough for now. I think that kind of gets shows you what's possible today. And we're going to jump over to the resource group. So as Adam mentioned, the resource group is a container for your related resources. The resources that you manage in a similar life cycle, right? And the resource group also helps bubble up things like events. You'll see this one alert rule. This is the alert rule that I just set up on our cloud service. It bubbles up here, so that way you can see all the alert rules across all the resources in your resource group. And we also have events that are being bubbled up as well. I'm going to go ahead and pin the events to my start board so that I can keep an eye on all the events throughout the entire app at once. One of the other nice things that we have is I can quickly jump in. And as Adam mentioned, resource groups are really good at managing access. So you don't have to grant access to every individual resource within your app. You can just grant access at the resource group level. And I've already given Adam access here, but if I want to go give somebody else access, it's as quick and easy as just jumping in here. I pick a role. You'll see some of the roles that Adam had talked about earlier. We've got owner, contributor, and reader. Reader's my favorite role because I can usually convince people that I'll quit bugging them if they just give me read access to our resources. So, but you also have some of these other service-based roles. So that way, if, say, we have a data factory in here, we can just grant access to just the data factory components and not anything else. So they wouldn't be able to see, say, the cloud service or whatnot. All right? And you can assign roles to users or groups. I'm going to skip that right now. And I also want to show tags. Tags is something that has been a long, much requested feature for a long time, and we finally have that ability within the portal. It's been there for a few months. So what you can see here is I can go in and add key value pairs to tag things on, say, app or environment or department project, whatever makes sense for you, right? And dig into those. I've got this filtered right now just for this one subscription, but you can see that I could quickly and easily go select a different subscription if I want to see other resources in other subscriptions with that same tag. And then I could even pin that to my start board so that I have quick access to all the things that are tagged like that. All right, but enough about resource groups. Let's look at the rest of our app. So we've got alert rules set up for our cloud service. But the first thing that we usually think about when scaling out our app is, will our front end handle that load, right? So let's open up our web app. And one of the decisions that we need to make when determining whether or not our front end can handle that load, it can be hard. It's like a guessing game at first, because you don't really know what to expect. You don't know what kind of traffic you're going to get. But you also want to make sure that you don't overdo it, because you want to manage costs and keep costs down. But luckily, you don't have to make that sacrifice. With Azure, you can set up an autoscale rule that will do that for you. So here what we're going to do is we're going to say, based on CPU percentage, I want to scale up to 3 because I don't have $1 million. Whenever we hit, say, 80%, it'll scale us up to a second instance, and so on and so forth. Whenever we drop down to 35, below 35%, then we'll scale down. That'll help ensure that our app is available during peak traffic, but also make sure that as the traffic dies down, we can keep costs low and avoid paying the big bills. So let's go ahead and set that up. And while that's going, I'm going to go ahead and pin that to our start board as well. Did I do it? There we go. Okay. All right, so we've got alert rules set up for our cloud service. We've got our web app is ready to auto-scale whenever we get peak traffic. The next thing that we really should take a look at is our data. The biggest concern that we have when it comes to data is ensuring that is disaster recovery. We want to make sure that if for some reason some part of the system goes down, we can quickly spin up a web app or a cloud service, but we can't reproduce years of data. But luckily, what we can do is set up geo-replication. Scott briefly mentioned this earlier in the keynote, so I just wanted to take some time to show you what it takes to set up geo-replication for your databases. We'll come in here, we'll pick a region, do South Central, and then I'm going to keep the defaults just to keep it quick and easy. And then I'm going to pick the server that I want to do this to. We can also create a new server if that's what we need to do here. I set that up ahead of time with the wrong name, but that's fine. Click Create. And then you'll see that our geo-replication is now busy getting set up. I'm going to go ahead and pin that to my start board so that I can keep an eye on that as well. And let's see, that's about it. So we've kind of walked through and we've set up alert rules, we've set up autoscale for our web app, and we've set up geo-replication for our database. And along the way, we've pinned a bunch of tiles to our start board. And the things that I'm most interested in, I want to make sure that our app is staying up. I want to make sure that we're maintaining the performance metrics that we expect to maintain. And I want to make sure that our costs stay low. So what I want to do is I want to come in here and I want to customize the start board because I want to make sure that it shows me the things that I care about most. So I'm going to come in here. I'll move CPU percentage over to the left because that's something I care a lot about. I will drag over nice big screen. I have plenty of room. I can get rid of things that I don't care about. You get the idea. It's not super exciting watching me drag tiles around the start board, but luckily, Adam already has the project set up on his machine. So let's go ahead and switch over to Adam's account so that way you can see what it looks like in a production scenario.
Yeah, so Michael just showed you kind of what it would take to turn on some of these features and configure them. But you probably are really interested to see them actually return value on that investment of going setting things up. So that's what I'm going to do. I've been actually running this app for a few days. And it turns out, yesterday in the morning when I woke up, I actually had an email in my inbox saying that an autoscale action happened. And that was great, because I had set up that particular alert. Now, I didn't go running to the portal because, you know, that's kind of what we told it to do. If things get a little hot, scale up. And I got the email a couple hours later that said that it scaled down, too. So that made me feel a lot better. Now, let's log in here to my account. So this is my start board. And as someone who's been running and managing this app for a few days, I've sort of customized it to my liking so that I can go and quickly do the things that I want to do. So, you know, like I said, I got that email. indicating that a scale action happened. So let me just click on scale here and see if I can learn a little bit more, or just kind of confirm what the email had told me. So that will load up. And yeah, kind of just like we had thought, it looks like sometime in the middle of the night on Tuesday, you know, we had to scale up, and then a few hours later it came back. So that sort of confirms what the email told me, and the portal makes that pretty obvious. But is that really enough? Like, yeah, it scaled up, that's great, but I sort of want to understand why it scaled up. I mean, I can look here, I do have the CPU percentage pinned here to my starboard, and I can see that, yeah, around that time at 2 in the morning on Tuesday, there was a spike, and it looks like there was another one on Wednesday and another one back here. So, I mean, now that's got me curious. What's going on at the same time two nights in a row that's causing me to spend a few extra dollars and scale up? So fortunately, we did instrument our app with App Insights, which means that we have access to pretty rich tracing and exception logging and things like that. And of course, I've pinned that, so it's only one click away. So let's actually just go and set the time range, because we sort of know where we want to look. And the last 3 days ought to do it. And we'll also filter. We just want to see, for now, I have a suspicion what's wrong. So I'm going to just see some exceptions and see if there's anything there. And yep, it looks like Tuesday, or, you know, again, while I was probably sleeping, we had some exceptions. And we can look, and it looks like there's a whole bunch of web exceptions. Looks like it ended at around 2 in the morning. And I can just sort of scroll down here, and let's just see exactly what happened. And there it is. So it looks like around midnight it started, and then the same thing the day before. So, you know, now I know a little bit more about what's going on. Let's click, since they all look to be the same problem. You know, we've got our call stack, we've got all sorts of information. Unable to reach sentiment analysis service. Now that actually makes me feel pretty happy. Now you might say, oh man, I took a dependency on this external service because it's going to do this natural language processing and it's great, but it turns out it's got crappy availability. Well, that's okay, because we've built our application for the cloud. We've built our application to handle this service not always being available. If you remember, after users submit their feedback, it gets dropped in a queue, and we have some workers in the background that are pulling from that queue and doing all this processing. So my hope is that while this downtime happened, you know, my project, my code wasn't really doing much, but then I think what happened is that service eventually woke up, and now I drained that queue that's been accumulating all this feedback. And it's possible that that caused my autoscale action to happen. But we can actually use the portal to verify that hypothesis. So I'm going to go back to my starboard. And over here, what I've got is a whole bunch of very specific custom events that we've instrumented our app with. And App Insights actually tracks those events over time. And I know, since I'm the dev who wrote this app, that the feedback processed event is the event that I fire after I successfully process a feedback completely and drop it in the database. And so I'll go in here, and again, we'll just adjust that time range to the last 3 days, and we'll see if this sort of confirms what I was thinking earlier. And so far, this is actually really promising and very useful data. I can see here that on that Tuesday night, I started to get a whole lot of feedback accumulating, and I was processing it, I was keeping up. But sometime around here, that external service sort of died out on me, and I stopped processing feedback. But a couple of hours later, when the service resumed, you know, I basically drank from the fire hose of that queue and processed a lot of feedback all at once. And you can see after it caught up, it sort of stabilized. And then it appears it did the same thing the next day. So, I mean, that's comforting to know. I probably want to give that service team a call and say, hey, guys, probably you shouldn't go down 2 hours every night. That's not so great. But my app is working fine. I've got all the feedback that you guys have been giving us. And that'll be available for my team. So I didn't have any real downtime. I was able to be fault tolerant here. And the portal made it really easy for me to verify, you know, what was going on. I had a lot of visibility into my application. And just finally, let's take a look at the geo-replication. So Michael started kicking that off, and you saw a nice fancy animation as it was setting itself up. But now it's actually all set up. And you know, this is a different installation, so we have some different resources here. But basically, it looks like I've got my East US 2 database online, and I've got this Central US database that's replicating, and it's in this non-readable state. Now, I'm using the cheaper version of SQL, which gives me this sort of passive geo replication. But if you wanted to crack open your wallet a little bit and pay for the next tier, you could actually get multiple replicas all over the world. And I think you even get the ability to read from the secondaries in the background. So if you have some lighter weight workloads like reporting, where they only need to read data, that's a nice way to distribute your load while also having this replication and failover potential. So, you know, hopefully what you've seen here, you've seen Michael go ahead and turn on all these cool cloudy features that give us autoscale and alerting and things like that. And then you saw how I was able to use it after it's been running for a while to get meaningful insights into my app and manage issues as they come up. You've also seen that I've customized the startboard here so that when I log in, I can quickly get to all of these things that I know I need to access frequently. So if you don't want to go through all of our navigation, of course, it's all there. You can browse the way Michael showed you. You got a whole bunch of shortcuts here. And if you're interested in this stuff, in the startboard in particular, come talk to me after the talk, because we have some pretty cool improvements we're thinking about doing there, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. So that's great. We were able to set these features up and use them, but we really want to get the benefits of that repeatable deployment so that, you know, I don't have to come to the portal and every single time I spin up a new environment, configure the alert rules and configure the auto scale. So Michael's going to jump back in one more time and just show us how we could make this installation repeatably, you know, deployable in a repeatable fashion.
Yep. So like Adam said, we've got the production environment right here. And then before we saw the environment that I started setting up so that I could do some performance analysis. And everything that's here, we can set up in one click. Well, maybe a couple. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into the marketplace. All right, and I'm going to search for a new, if I can spell, it's right there, a new option that we have within the marketplace, template deployment. So Adam had earlier mentioned that the Resource Manager has this template deployment engine that allows you to deploy multiple resources that are contained within a single resource group all at one time. So now, what we're happy to announce for you today is that you can do that within the portal. You used to be able to do that. You can still do that within PowerShell, but now we can do that in the portal here. All I need to do is go grab my JSON. So this JSON, this template, describes the architecture that we have within our resource group. We mentioned earlier that Ryan Jones has an Azure Resource Manager talk. You should definitely go check that out to get a little bit more details on the templating engine and how to set those up for yourself. But just kind of give you a high level understanding. We have a set of parameters that are the inputs to the template. So when you set up a template, it's really as flexible as you want it to be. You can set up, here we've just set it up so that we have set the app name. We have a primary location for where we're gonna host our SQL database. And then we also have a secondary location so that when we set up that geo-replication, that's where it's gonna replicate to. And generic things like the database sign-in, SKU, so on and so forth. A lot of these we can specify the allowed values to help ease setting that up for people that kind of follow us. And we also have default values to make that even easier. And then down here, we have a list of all the resources. These are all the resources that we showed earlier. So if I want to go deploy another environment, all I need to do, since this already describes all of the resources that are in our group. Totally breezed over the fact. Visual Studio Code, awesome. So I just pasted our template right in here. That's all I need to do there. Everything's good. So I talked about the parameters as the inputs to your template to help customize some of that. So let me go in here and feedback. Demo. Let's go crazy here. I want to do South Brazil. I'm going to regret this. And North Europe. There we go. right, feedback, admin. Everybody loves watching people type into text boxes. Password one. All right, I'm gonna pick the standard SKU, and I'm gonna go with all the defaults there. All right, now I'm gonna select the resource group. I'm actually gonna pick, create a new resource group. Just call it the same as the app. And then pick the resource group location. The resource group location, this actually doesn't really have much to do with the resource location that you choose. This is just where the template execution happens. All right, I'm gonna click create, and we're off. And that's basically it. We've got our, we've specified, taken a reusable, predictable template that, and then we're starting to deploy another environment. You can use this to set up additional dev environments for new devs that join your team, or set up additional test environments, whatever you need, or even potentially if you need to scale out to additional regions. This will just help you get set up much quicker and in a much more repeatable fashion. Switch to slides. All right. So, just to kind of recap everything that we've talked about how the Azure Management Platform is bringing on a lot of consistency. And that's consistency from the back-end APIs that Resource Manager provides across all your services. If you look at the service management APIs that we have today, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and we're trying to fix that with the new Resource Manager APIs. It's also consistency within the UI, within the portal. We have a unified management experience, whether that be Microsoft services or even third-party services. We have New Relic and New Relic today. SendGrid is coming in pretty soon, and there are others that we're working with actively to bring them into the portal. And that's come together within the marketplace experience, where you can provision all of those, both Microsoft and third-party services together. We also talked about the insights that you can get. And those are insights that you can get from, you can get monitoring and events rules, events information at a subscription, a resource group, or a resource level. And as well as billing information. We actually didn't really show it, but we have an entire billing hub that'll just give you, that'll surface a lot of that billing information across your subscriptions to make that easier if you're watching financials. We talked about the organization and categorization within the portal, some of the tools that we have there for grouping related resources together to manage a common lifecycle among them, but also tagging them. So that way you can view and manage resources across resource groups and even across subscriptions within the portal. We talked about predictably and reliably and repeatably deploying your environment multiple times using the template engine that Resource Manager provides. We also talked about access control. Granting access, whether that be owner, contributor, reader, or one of the built-in service-based roles, you can do that at a subscription, resource group, and resource level. And we're also working on custom roles to allow you to manage the permissions that you want to give. Maybe you only want to allow someone to start and stop a website, but or web app, but not set up autoscale or anything like that. Those, you'll have that power once we have custom alert rules, permissions in the portal. And then we also talked about the customization and personalization that you can do to make the portal work for you. Make it bring the information that you need front and center, right? And that's what we have with the start board, and what Adam had kind of talked about is some of the things that we're looking at improving on in the future. So definitely come up, get us feedback. We hope that you've been using the app and sending us your feedback along the way. But with that, I think we can go ahead and open it up for questions.
Well, I need to put the URL back up.
Oh. And there we go.
No questions? Oh, we got one. Two. You absolutely can, yeah. Yep, and they would flow through. You can even do things, and we do this in the portal, so like there's an experience where you can create like a web app and a database together. You can even make it so that parameters from one resource sort of flow into another. So I guess website and database isn't the best example, but let's say you wanted to create a website and a storage account in one go. What you can do is put those two in a template, and basically configure it so that the output of creating the storage account, which is a storage key, can flow into an app setting in the website. So the template language lets you flow values across the resources. It's really neat. I can't reemphasize enough that session tomorrow on the Azure Resource Manager. It'll cover all that stuff.
Yeah, one of the things that you can see when you look at the template here is I talked about the parameters that you can set, and you basically have the ability to come in here and just piece together those parameters, and you can have custom variables that are evaluating on top of those parameters and whatnot, and then bind these things together like Adam was mentioning. There's a bunch of documentation for this on MSDN, so please do go check that out, and then go check out the session. And if you don't have a chance to make it, then at least watch the video later.
Yeah. And you had a second question? Unfortunately, it is a whole new plumbing system.
Do you mind repeating the question?
It is a lot better, though.
Repeat the question.
Oh, the question was about the linking. So both the current Azure portal and the Azure preview portal have this concept of linked resources. They'd use two different systems to do that. The newer system, though, is much richer. The older one really only supported websites, databases, and storage accounts, I think, something like that. The new system supports any resource that's a part of that Azure resource model.
Now, that would be good to get more feedback about that. That's actually something that we haven't heard too much about, is how useful it is to be able to link, say, random resources together and how you would expect that to be surfaced within the portal. Definitely come talk to us. Let us know how you're using it and how you would want to be using it and expect to be using it, because we've talked about exposing that ability more. It's just since we haven't got a whole lot of feedback on it, we just haven't invested much in that. So your feedback would definitely help push things in a direction that would be better for you. So.
So the one thing I can think of that's close to that is, I know if your template contains a virtual machine, there are hooks in there for you to insert custom scripts. So you can put a bunch of scripts in a storage account and then run them, and then those scripts can do anything. I'm not 100% sure, so I might defer to an expert in ARM. The guy tomorrow will definitely know. But I'm pretty sure that's limited to virtual machines, and each service would sort of have to provide that ability on its own, and the VM service does.
Yeah. If you come up, we'll give you one of our cards, and then we can make sure to get an answer for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Mobile, so you can access, yes. So we definitely, so the question was, what's the plan to support mobile with the portal? We definitely want to support mobile with the portal. We just want to make sure that we have a first-class experience for managing your resources while on the desktop, because that's the primary use that we know that we've seen. It's absolutely something we want to do. We feel like we're not done yet with building out the desktop experience and smoothing out some of the rough edges. We want to make sure that we can smooth out those edges before we start focusing on mobile. Does that make sense?
Okay. So there was another hand. Yeah. This week. Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep.
Correct.
You can do a subset for now. This is sort of, as Michael indicated earlier, this is a initial preview release just to get feedback on that cloud services experience. Yeah, it's interesting. This, you may be the first group of people to formally hear about that and see that thing actually being live. So
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we just wanted to get something out as soon as we possibly could. So it's something that that we wanted. It's just the beginnings, right? And there are definitely some things that we know that you can't do in the preview portal, but.
Now, one other thing that we forgot to mention is that this link that was on the screen, but is no longer on the screen.
Which one?
That one. We're going to redirect that link after a couple of hours from now. so that instead of pointing at our fake feedback site, which we are going to actually read everything you wrote, don't worry about that, but that's going to link to our real product feedback site on Azure.com. And you know, as you're using cloud services or anything else, go there. I mean, if you notice, you know, if you go to that feedback site, you'll see that some of the top, you know, probably half, maybe more of the top requests we've actually shipped this week.
Yeah.
So we take that feedback very seriously. So if you go there and vote on ideas or put your own ideas, that's one of the top sources that dictates what we do and what improvements we make. Yeah. Yep. You know, Azure Active Directory may have some auditing capabilities built in. That's another area where I might have to defer to an Active Directory expert. But again, if you come up and you know, we'll give you a card and we can take your information and route that maybe to some experts.
We do have, we'll go into Browse. We're going to launch Audit Logs. So the Audit Logs app that we have within the portal today is basically surfacing all the events that are happening throughout your subscriptions. So this might give you some of the things that you're looking for. It's not a full audit trail. It does cover things like RBAC assignments and whatnot. I don't believe it tracks when you sign into the portal and things like that. So there are going to be some things that are missing there, but this should be the first place that you go to. So check that out and then give us feedback. Let us know what's missing from here that you need. And I know that the Active Directory team, the Azure Active Directory team, is currently working on bringing in all the auditing and reporting that they have. And hopefully that's something that we can share soon.
Can you be more specific? Yeah. The nice thing about the template execution engine is it's exposed via just a normal REST API, right? So there's an API where you give it the template and the parameters, and it goes ahead and gives you back, you know, a pointer where you can go and pull the status and all that kind of stuff. So basically, because, as I described earlier, all the tools that we build sit on top of that service management layer, then, yeah, and any tool can do it. You know, the same way the portal is executing that template, you can do it programmatically.
I have a lot of subscriptions.
I think that depends.
They're the same users because, well, let's say you can connect your Visual Studio Online account to Azure Active Directory. And if you do that, then they are definitely the same users, yes. Yes.
So the access control is actually very different, yeah. So Visual Studio Online has its own kind of domain-specific access control. The way to think about that and the way we think about it is there's sort of two planes in play here. There's the data plane and the management plane. The management plane is typically all the things that you know, most of the types of things you do in the portal, like, you know, creating a VM, creating a website, you know, all those types of things. And then there's the data plane, which if I'm thinking in terms of like a database, that would be issuing a SQL query, right? So on the Visual Studio Online side, I guess they thought it was super critical that they have a domain-specific kind of access control on their features because it's very domain-specific and very particular to what they're doing.
Yeah. The Visual Studio Online team is definitely working to align with some of the things that we're doing. It's just they've been around for a long time. There's a lot of infrastructure there. So. Today those are definitely separate. If you connect your Visual Studio account to Azure Active Directory and link it to a subscription, then you can manage those within the portal. And you can grant access to be able to manage those resources, the team project as a resource and the Visual Studio Online account as a resource. But granting access to those resources doesn't give you access to, say, the work items today. But that's something that's definitely a direction that we're wanting to move into. Any other questions?
All right, so we will stick around if anybody wants to to give us some more feedback or has any questions that are a little more involved, we'll hang around for a few minutes. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you.